Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price podcast. Thanks for joining us today. It's the 24th of March. And on this day in Christian history, we go back to the year 1208. And we travel to Rome, where Pope Innocent III placed an interdict on England, prohibiting clergy from conducting religious services. It was the last time public daily mass would be stopped in Britain until the coronavirus lockdowns of 2020. King John treated the interdict as a papal declaration of war. An interdict, not widely imposed today, is a powerful disciplinary tool of the Catholic Church, more commonly used during the Middle Ages. It denies the sacraments and public worship to either an individual, occasionally a region, or a state that was not willing to adhere to the laws of the church. And once imposed, the interdict remained in effect until the wrong had been corrected. So an interdict might last only for a brief period or extend out for years. A blunt instrument of canon law, it could be used to penalise the whole for the violations of a few. And in the case of King John, the transgressions of one person led to taking away the religious practices of many. Theologically, this is understood as being a salutary action, one intended to bring back to health an unhealthy situation, and is only meant to be imposed as a last resort to achieve compliance with church law. It was and is designed to be less severe than excommunication, which automatically excludes those impacted from all church activity. And in recent memory, interdicts were imposed on a group of parishioners who physically kept a black priest from entering a chapel, or on a priest who was found to be widely advocating abortion. Back in 1208, the antagonists in this situation were Pope Innocent III and King John of England. John is viewed now by most historians as being a poor ruler because of his inability to get along with others, whether they be his subjects or other European leaders. He was ill-tempered and stubborn, a tyrant who became the villain in the Robin Hood legends. The collision of the king and the pope took place in 1205, 3 years before today's interdict, where the Archbishop of Canterbury had died. Hubert Walter had served as both Chancellor of England and Archbishop of Canterbury. And in his role of Chancellor, he oversaw the day-to-day affairs of government. And as Archbishop, he was the leader of the Catholic Church in England. And in contrast with the king, he was a skillful, effective and powerful leader. At the time, the Archbishop of Canterbury was linked to the Benedictine Foundation and the Benedictine community and cathedral that dated from the time of Augustine. The Archbishops of Canterbury were in full communion with the See of Rome, and usually they would go to Rome to receive the pallium from the Pope as a sign of their office. The monks had the right to elect the archbishop, but by custom it always had been someone acceptable to the monarch. However, upon Walter's death, the monks in Canterbury quickly and secretly elected Reginald as the new archbishop without consulting King John. It seems they did not trust him, as he had shown little interest in religious matters. Reginald immediately was sent to Rome with the belief that he could obtain the Pope's approval before the king or his bishops would know what had happened. The king ignored Reginald's election and promoted someone loyal to him, John de Grey, the Bishop of Norwich. In Rome, Pope Innocent III decided to expand the role of the church into affairs of state by taking away from rulers their right to fill ecclesiastical vacancies. The Pope consolidated these appointments under the Vatican. He expanded papal supremacy so successfully that during his papacy, 8 European countries became vassals of the Holy See. As an indication of his high theology, Innocent had declared himself to be the vicar of Jesus Christ, the successor of Peter, the mediator between God and man, less than God and greater than man. He wouldn't hesitate using excommunication and the interdict to exercise church influence over kings and kingdoms. Innocent used his cunning legal mind when he saw an opportunity to widen papal influence in England. So when the monk Reginald arrived, he was dismissed by the Pope because he had been elected in secret. And then he dismissed Bishop de Grey because he had been named before the Pope and proclaimed the invalidity of Reginald and selected his trusted friend, Cardinal Stephen Langton, to become the Archbishop of Canterbury. As a punishment, the interdict suspended all religious services, denied Mass to everyone except the clergy, took away all the sacraments save confession and viaticum for the dying, and baptism, which had to be done privately. Couples could not be married in the church, and no one could be buried in consecrated Catholic cemeteries. The king retaliated by confiscating lands from the clergy, not offering them any protection or supporting them financially. Innocent encouraged King Philip of France to invade England and to take the throne. And so, recognising the threat of a powerful invasion and aware that the lords of his country would not support him, King John finally succumbed to the Pope and received absolution from the church. But the interdict was not lifted until the Vatican was convinced of John's sincerity. At last, in June 1214, after 6 years, the interdict was removed from England. Under the leadership of Archbishop Langton, the king would later be forced to sign the Magna Carta, which is the basis of English and later American constitutional liberties. Among its contents, it addressed freedoms of the church, political reform, the right to trial by jury, the right of habeas corpus, and the principle of no taxation without representation. In a twist to the story, Pope Innocent would later try to annul this, unsuccessfully. That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us tomorrow, if you can, as we look at the story of Theodosius III, the emperor who became a monk. Visit our website for more information at www.pogp.net. And if you'd like to respond directly, then email the show on pogppod@gmail.com. Have a lovely day wherever you are, and thanks for listening.